Okay, now this morning is Sports Relief Mile Day. Did you know that? Did anyone watch Sports Relief on Friday? Brilliant. Lots of good things on there. Well, this morning there are lots of mile runs taking place all over the country for the Sport Relief Mile. I thought I might go and do it and then realised I would have to be here. So, I know, I could have gone and come back. But I thought, well, do you know what? We could do our own sport relief activity in a worshipful way. And so I brought with me my dealy boppers, sport relief dealy boppers. Not good, how's that? All right? I used to know a girl called Trina Dealy, and when I put dealy boppers on, it always reminds me of her. I've also got my sport relief headband, which I thought might not look so attractive on me, a bit John McEnroe. So, anyone? Come up, Alfie. Get your Sport Relief headband on. You have to join me up here and do what we're doing if you... Yeah? Your headband? Yeah? Put it on. See, that's so cool, isn't it? I've also got my little wristband, my sweatband. Anyone? Yeah, do come up, yeah. Yeah. These aren't very stable. There you go. And I've also got some sport relief. You don't have to come up for these. Anyone like a sport relief ball?
Yes.
You've got the sweatband, I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. One. Oh, that was a very bad throw. What's going on with me? Okay, one. Hold on. Oh! So sorry, I don't really don't. I might hit the heater. Oh, that was good. Can we have someone over here? No one's very excited over this side, I have to say. Okay, look. Oh, we're front back. Front might be. Oh no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. So a few of you have some sport relief items. We up here are going to help people with the actions because we're going to sing our sport relief worshipful song. Everything we do, whether it be running, jogging, rushing around, sitting, we do within the power and the love and the light of God. Everything we do has God with us in it. And so we're doing this and we're having fun, but God is here with us, enjoying this time with us as well. So just as you've sat down, let's stand again and invite God to be with us. Let's come and worship him as we sing, "Come, now is the time to worship." Now, it's all very well, isn't it, to say, well, God is with us whatever we're doing. Whatever we're involved in, God is with us. And God does promise to be with us. But sometimes we can feel that he's not. Sometimes we can feel a little bit lonely, a little bit on our own, a little bit like no one understands us or no one cares about us. Has anyone ever felt like that? We can feel a bit lonely. Well, today we're looking at a part of the Bible where I think Jesus was probably a little bit lonely. It's the story of when Jesus, having been baptized in the river, having had this wonderful experience of heaven opening and everyone around being amazed that Jesus was there being baptized and the Holy Spirit came down and it was an amazing time. Suddenly, Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, was taken into the wilderness, the desert, a place where there was really nothing, barren and empty. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights on his own, no one else. On his own. I imagine he felt a little bit lonely. No company from anyone. He didn't eat and he didn't drink, so he was probably very tired. And then after those 40 days and 40 nights, the devil appeared to him and tempted him with three things. Firstly, to turn stones into bread so he could eat because he was desperately hungry. Secondly, to throw himself off of the temple so that God's angels could come and rescue him. And thirdly, to look upon all the kingdoms of the world and to have them if he would just bow down to the devil and worship him. Jesus said no to all of these things and told the devil to go. And he did. And then the angels of God surrounded Jesus, and he was no longer alone. Jesus was taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't alone, but he must have felt very alone at that time. And he was tempted to do things which he would have desperately wanted to do because he'd been alone for so long and he was desperately hungry and he wanted to get out of the situation. But he didn't give in to those temptations, which is good for us because it means that Jesus experienced being alone and lonely. He also experienced things that really tempted him, but he didn't do it. And that's why the Bible says this to us. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. So as we meet together, however we feel, whether we feel really full of life and ready for today, or whether we feel lonely, misunderstood, we have someone who understands us and who we can come to.
It's good to be with you once more, and to have been able to share with you in these last few months, once a month, coming here during Kate's maternity leave. And great to see Kate in such terrific form, isn't it? And all these inspiring exercises that we were doing together. So we continue to pray for you, Kate, and for all of you in the future as you continue here in Cottenham in the witness of this church. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 4, and this is Jesus in the wilderness, as Kate's already introduced to us. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And we thank God for his word. First of all, a story about Tony. Tony was born into a well-to-do family, and his parents were Christians. He wasn't very happy as a teenager, wasn't all that happy at school. And in fact, when he was a late teenager, tragedy struck his family because his parents both died. They were wealthy people and left him with money and with possessions and with an estate. But he was in church one day and he heard the gospel being spoken about and read from Matthew chapter 19, which said, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor." And he felt really convicted that he was so wealthy. And he sold a lot of his possessions and gave to the poor. And then another day he was in church, and again it proved to be dangerous. It is sometimes dangerous to be in church, because this time the text was, "Don't worry about tomorrow," from Matthew chapter 6. And he had kept some of his possessions because he thought it's the best thing to do to plan for the future. But he was really moved again by thinking that he shouldn't have these worries. And he actually ended up going right away from his home area and into quite a remote area to seek for a deeper experience of God. And eventually people started to come to him because he became known for his wisdom and for the way in which he could help other people. Now, Anthony, or Tony, as I've called him, could probably have lived in many different times in history. He actually was born in the year 250. So he is one of the early people in the story of the church, Anthony, who became known as the father of the monastic movement, those people who gave themselves to a life of prayer and of scripture and of pastoral concern for others because of the way people came to hear from them. Now, although Anthony became an example to other people, actually his example was Jesus, because he felt, this is the way I want to live my life. I want to be this single-minded person. And that was what partly took him into this remote area, because it was a desert. It was in Egypt. That's where he lived. And so this example of Jesus in the desert has actually affected people's lives throughout the story of the church. And we're thinking about that today. So what happened in the desert when Jesus was there? We'll just show the slide now of Jesus, as Kate said, solitary, on his own, in the desert place. And there were these three temptations, or we might think of them in a different way, but let's think first of all about temptation. A temptation to stave off the hunger that had been grown within him, to have some bread. Or a temptation for political leadership, to have all the kingdoms of the world. Or a temptation to show that he had amazing power, miraculous power, to throw himself down from the temple. So temptations. Possibly we have different temptations, but in another sense, maybe they weren't totally evil temptations. I wonder what you think about them. Because there's nothing wrong with having bread, is there? So it wasn't an evil thing to think about being provided with bread. And actually, there's nothing wrong with serving people as a leader. So the idea that you could have that kind of political ambition is not necessarily wrong in itself. Or to trust God in a life and death situation. As many of you know, I'm a locum chaplain at Edinburgh's hospital, and I see a lot of people in life and death situations, and surely that's a time to trust in God. And many people say, I've never really prayed before in this way, I've never thought about God before, but I'm thinking now because I'm in a life and death situation. So that's not an evil thing, is it? Actually, it's a very good thing. So maybe, as well as thinking about temptation, we need to think about how Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, having had this amazing time when he was baptized and when the Spirit came upon him, was being tested about his priorities. What's going to be the way that you're going to go forward from here? Is the way going to be a way of selfishness, thinking about myself and my needs? Is it going to be a way of imposing power in the way that the rulers did at that time and still do? Just think about what's happened in Crimea. And very poignant for Janice and me, because we've been to Ukraine, we've many friends in Ukraine. So imposing power, is that the way? Or is it going to be some great stunt that you do, even if it's a spiritual stunt, that would make people believe? What's going to be your priority? What's going to be your direction? And we've been hearing a bit about people's priorities as well, haven't we, this week? Especially people of my age, retirement people, who are going to get this extra money, lumps of money, And people say, oh, would they be able to cope with that amount of money? You know, we're not very intelligent people of our age, you know. We don't know what to do, so we need to be told what to do. What's the priority when maybe you have a lot of money, as Anthony did? And so perhaps in our lives, perhaps in our church, let's think just now of where we are with God. And maybe we've had some really good experiences of God. Jesus had that as his baptism, didn't he? When the Spirit came and the voice of God said to him, "You are my son, the one I love." That's a fantastic thing, isn't it? To hear God say, "You're my daughter, my son, I love you." And yet after that, this hard time, 40 days, 40 nights, reminds us of other things in Scripture where there's that kind of time. 40, any thoughts about where else we find a 40? 40 years, that's right, in the wilderness. Hard time for the people of Israel in the Old Testament, 40 years. There's actually 40 days of fasting with Moses and with Elijah as well. Hard times that people go through. So sometimes great times, sometimes hard times. But what about looking at our priorities when things are not so simple, not so easy? And I think that was what was happening here, that Jesus was having to think about what he was going to do. And so it's not that creating bread was wrong. Actually, Jesus did create bread, didn't he? For a lot of people, for 5,000 people. But it wasn't satisfying his own needs, was it? It was looking to others and bringing the love of God and the provision of God to other people. And actually, Jesus did exercise a lot of power in his ministry. It wasn't that the power was wrong, but he didn't do it to draw attention to himself. In fact, sometimes he said to people, "Don't even tell other people what has happened to you," when they'd been healed by the power of Jesus. So Jesus exercised power, but it was, again, for the blessing of other people. And so I think what is happening here is that Jesus is beginning to make his priority the road to the cross. And this is our other slide, as we move from the solitary Jesus there to, in this case, a solitary cross. Now, we know that there were three crosses. There were people crucified on either side of Jesus. But let's think about, maybe as Jesus began to think about where his journey was going to lead him. It was going to be a hard journey. And these words that were coming from the devil at this point were actually going to be almost repeated by one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his followers and friends and disciples, Peter, who, when Jesus began to speak about the cross and about how he was going to give his life and how he was going to suffer, Peter, his friend who should have been there with him, said, No, this is not the way. Don't go that way. That involves too much suffering. And what did Jesus say to his friend Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." So those words, trying to divert Jesus from the way of the cross, those words continued right through his life and ministry. So what does the way of the cross mean for us? We're not being asked necessarily, like some people are in the world today, to give up our lives and to be martyrs. But we're asked to think about our priorities, aren't we? And maybe we're at this time in the life of this congregation. What's the steps from here on that God is calling us? Or you as an individual? Maybe something new that you've not thought about before. Are the priorities just possessions or prestige or some kind of power? Or are the priorities the things that will bring fruit in God's kingdom? Anthony, I'm sure, as a young man going into the desert, never thought that in the year 2014 in Cottenham Baptist Church, somebody would be talking about him. And yet his example was so powerful that people went to him, people listened to him, people's lives were changed by him. Not just a few people, thousands and thousands of people, and many more who read the books about him through the centuries since. So what can happen from a small decision, apparently, to just go and seek God? What can happen in your life from a decision to commit yourself in a new way? From a decision to make new priorities in your life? From a decision to say, I want to see this community affected more than it has ever been before? And as we think about that, as we think about the way in which that can happen at any time of life, for Jesus, it was something that took him into 3 years of ministry and then death as a young man. For Anthony, interestingly enough, who I started with, he died at the age of 106. So living in the desert didn't do him any harm. I'm sure he didn't overeat when he was in the desert, so I'm sure that his health stayed pretty good. And as far as we know, he was in good shape until he died at 106. So whatever age we're at, whatever stage we're at, we can make a new resolve. And that resolve is what we think about in Lent, because we actually go through 40 days in Lent, don't we? And it's 40 days in which we think about our lives, maybe things to leave behind, but also things to take on, as Jesus did, to go forward with, to go forward into the future that God has. And we don't know what that future will be exactly, but we know that if we follow Jesus, it's a future of amazing fruitfulness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.